Okay, we're going to begin here by the two dots on the bottom of Ayin Tet Amud Bet. Gemara here is discussing what's mentioned in the Mishnah, which is the examples of Inui Nefesh that are brought in the Mishnah are Imer Chatz, Vim Lo Rechatz, Imet Kashet, Vim Lo Et Kashet. And here the Gemara asks, Hechi Kamar, what exactly is being said in the Mishnah? The way that Tosafot understands the question of the Gemara is that the word Konam, or Neder, never appear here. What exactly is the nature of this Neder that she's taking? All it says is, Im Erchatz, Im Lo Erchatz. There's no sign of Konam or any sign of a Neder here. On the other hand, the Ran says that the problem is the word Im. The word Im, if, is never a terminology that is used or associated with the Neder, but rather it's a term that is associated with a Tnai, a condition, or some sort of trigger. So when you're taking a Neder, you wouldn't expect someone to use Lashon of Im. So for either of those reasons, the Gemara here wants to know what exactly is the circumstance or the case that's found in our Mishnah. The Gemara says, Ilema, so if you want to suggest. Now the Gemara is going to go through a number of suggestions, and within those suggestions, there are mutually exclusive hanachot, assumptions of the Gemara as it's playing around. We're trying to understand the situation. And the Gemara says here, Ilema da amro, that she said, Konam perot olam alai im erchatz, that all the fruits of the world will be restricted to me if I bathe. So the assumption here is that the neder that she's taking is the restriction of the perot, and that is the inui nefesh. And it will be triggered im erchatz if she does bathe. Gemara says, lama la hafara? Why would you need to nullify such a neder? Lo terchat, let her not bathe. Velo litasran perot olam ala. And then she won't have any problem of the perot of the world being restricted to her. So we have a very simple solution here. Don't have her trigger the nether. Have her not bathe, and then we won't have a problem of triggering the nether. Now here there are two assumptions of the Gemara. The first assumption is that when she restricts all fruits of the world upon her, that is a nether of inui nefesh. The second assumption of the Gemara is that if she doesn't bathe, that that's not considered to be inui nefesh. And so the combination of those two lead the Gemara to say, what's the problem over here? What exactly is the issue? If that is the condition or the trigger, is that if I bathe, then I will be restricted in perot olam, then just don't bathe, and we won't have that problem. Number two is, ve'od, baha lema Rabbi Yossi. On that, Rabbi Yossi says, ein elu nidre inui nefesh. These aren't classified as inui nefesh. Dilma rachatza. Maybe she will bathe. Vitasu perot olamala. And then the fruits of the world will be restricted to her. So what the Gemara is asking, as the Ran points out over here, it certainly not can't be asking on Rabbi Yossi himself, or on the din of Rabbi Yossi, because you can't ask going to Rabbi Yossi, maybe she will bathe, and then it will trigger the neder, because you just assumed by the Tanakhama that she could not bathe. And you just asked of the Tanakhama, maybe she shouldn't bathe, and there won't be any problem. So now you can't be asking Rabbi Yossi, oh, maybe she will bathe, and therefore it will trigger the neder. So that certainly can't be the issue that the Gemara is after with regards to Rabbi Yossi. Ella lishna kashale. As the Ran says over here, it's the language that's being used to Rabbi Yossi, which is problematic. As Tosafot says over here, Vishlomar, the mashman levilok tani Rabbi Yossi omer lo yafer. Rabbi Yossi doesn't say over here he should not nullify it, v'kamar, but he says, ein elu nidre yunui nefesh. This is not called inui nefesh. The Aruye lan, the Baha'i Nether, the Irina, this Nether that we're speaking about, even if she violates the trigger, ain't been Nether Inui Nefesh. There is no Inui Nefesh over here. And that the Gemara is unwilling to accept, that if you say, or you are Oser Perot Olam on oneself, that that is definitely considered to be Inui Nefesh. So now, if Rabbi Yossi was addressing the Tanai and arguing on the fact that the Tanakhama says that we worry about the fact that she might be rochets, and that will trigger the neder. And Rabbi Yossi says, I don't worry about that. I'm not worried about her triggering the neder. Then the language that Rabbi Yossi uses is completely inappropriate. He's saying that this type of neder is not called inui nefesh. What do you mean? The neder is a neder of inui nefesh. Just he doesn't think you're ever going to get to that neder of inui nefesh because you're not going to trigger it. And he should have used a language, or he should have said, don't nullify it, or that this is not something that we worry about, or this trigger is not something that we worry about. If we think that he agrees, Dilma Rachatza, she might bathe, and then trigger the neder, And on that, Rabbi Yossi is saying, Ein Elu Nidre Inui Nefesh, that nether is an Inui Nefesh if she does trigger it. That we can't accept, because we're talking about Oser Perot Olam Aleha, which is definitely a nether of Inui Nefesh. The Ran also notes over here that even though earlier in the Masechta, Rabbi Yehuda told us that if a person takes the nether, Konam Einai B'Sheina Hayom, Imishan L'Machar, that if a person says that I'm restricted in sleeping today, if I sleep tomorrow, then they shouldn't sleep today because they might sleep tomorrow. And over there, the Gemara explained that the reasoning behind this is that Shema Yishan L'Machar D'Bitnei Lo Mizdaher. People aren't careful about their triggers. So Hachanami, why don't we say the same thing over here? That maybe people aren't careful about their triggers, and this woman is going to end up triggering the nether. So over here, the Ran says we don't worry about it over here because this case is different. In the case of the Sheina, earlier on in the Masechta, over there, the nether goes into effect before the trigger. And therefore, what we're worried about is that when it comes to the trigger, the person's not going to be so careful. On the other hand, over here, where the nether only goes effective once she triggers it, over there we don't worry about her triggering the nether. Ein Hachanami, if she had said that, I will not eat perot from today, if I bathe in the future, then we would worry about that trigger, and that'd be the same as the case with the Masechta. But over here, given the Tauto Nidra Be'im, since she triggered her nether through the Im, that will not generate the nether until she triggers or violates the trigger. And over there, people are careful because they know that that's going to generate the nether. That's going to cause the nether to go to into effect. Or we're not going to worry about it because if she does trigger the nether at that point, then we'll worry about the nether at that point. But we don't have to worry about it retroactively. Ve'ela. So what we're going to suggest here. The Amra Kunam Hanat Rechitza Alai. Le'olam. I am restricted in any pleasure from bathing. Imerchat, if I do bathe. So now, if she does bathe, that will trigger the nether. And in triggering the nether, then she'll be restricted in rechitza for the remainder of her life. Mishum hochi, mefer lo. For that reason, we allow the husband to nullify the nether. The hechi tavit. What can she do in this instance? Tirchat, if she does bathe, mitasro hanat rechitza ala. Then the rechitza becomes a surah to her. Lo tirchatz, if she doesn't bathe, it la nivula. Then it's something that is disgusting. So over here you see already the Gemara jumping tracks and saying that the lack of rechitza becomes nivul, or it's something that we would be concerned about. As opposed in the first case where the Gemara says, oh, let her not bathe, and the only thing we worry about in terms of inui nefesh is the issue of the peirot. And over here the Gemara concerned that she won't bathe, and that will be a nivul. V'Rabbi Yossi Savar, Efshar Delo Rachza, let her not bathe, Uli nivul lo chashinan, and we don't worry about nivul, or in other words, Rabbi Yossi thinks that not bathing is not a problem. So the argument over here is bathing an inui nefesh, or is bathing not an inui nefesh? Now, in terms of what the question is, the machloki between now the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi is, whether we have to worry about the trigger being tripped or not. According to Rabbi Yossi, we don't have to worry about it. We just tell her, don't bathe. And we don't worry about the nivul. And therefore, she won't bathe and she won't trigger the nether and have the problem. On the other hand, the Tanakama says, we're worried about her not bathing because that's a nivul. And if she does bathe for that one time to go to the nivul, that will trigger the nether and then she'll be stuck because then she can't bathe forever. And for sure, that will be inui nefesh. So now the Gemara says about that, Yochi, if that is the structure of what the Mishnah was speaking about, litnei hochi. Then the Mishnah should have written this. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tznai Zeh, Ein Bo Inui Nefesh. This condition does not have Inui Nefesh associated with it. Now the truth is that the trigger here and the nether are of the same ilk. Because the trigger says, if I bathe, then I'm Asur Behanat Rechitza forever. So the option then is not to bathe. Or if she does bathe, then she's not going to be able to bathe. And if so, why doesn't the Gemara just suggest straight out that she takes the nether that restricts herself in Mechitza? Why does it premise it or trigger it through a Tanai that is the exact same thing, which says I may not bathe? So the Ran suggests over here that it comes to teach us a Chidush that even though the first bathing is allowed because she doesn't trigger the nether until she bathes the first time. Nevertheless, the Tanakhama says you can be made fair the nether now, even though it only goes into effect after she bathes the first time. So in the end, Rabbi Yossi has to disagree on both points. He has to disagree on the fact that Inui Nefesh is not a problem with regards to Rechitza, and therefore she won't trigger the nether, but he also has to believe that the nether itself is not Inui Nefesh. And therefore the Gemara's question is somewhat strange in asking about why does Rabbi Yossi argue about the trigger? He's arguing about the underlying nether itself. But the truth is the underlying nether itself is associated with the same thing as the trigger, which is Inui Nefesh of Rechitza. And Rabbi Yossi believes that there is no Inui Nefesh of Rechitza. So therefore, there are those that think that the question here should have been, Ein Elu Mishum Inui Nefesh. These aren't issues of Inui Nefesh, rather than Ein Elu Nidre Inui Nefesh. Meaning that Rabbi Yossi argues on the whole situation. He argues both on the Tanai and on the nether itself, and therefore the language should have reflected that rather than a language that only speaks to the nether itself. On the other hand, Daran quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah, who suggests that the question over here is, based on Rabbi Yossi says in the Mishnah that Ein Elu Nidre Inui Nefesh, the implication is that if they were Nidre Inui Nefesh, we would allow you to be made from the nether. And that is just not true. Kevon Dibitna Leka Inui Nefesh. Because since there is no Inui Nefesh in the Tanai, in the trigger, even if the nether was about Perot Olam, even if it was about something that's obviously Inui Nefesh, Lo Yafer, you don't have the right to do Hafara. Like we said at the beginning of the Sugya, Lo Terchatz, she shouldn't bathe, and she won't trigger the nether. So as long as there is no Inui Nefesh in the trigger, and we don't worry about what's in the back end or in the nether itself. Whereas, if there is Inui Nefesh in the trigger, that does matter, and that is all that matters. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi is focused, in a sense, on the wrong thing in the Mishnah. He is asking about the nether itself, or disagreeing about the nether itself, when that is not the most important factor. And the implications of what you're saying are, that if there was Inui Nefesh in that nether, then it would be cause for Hafara, even though the trigger was not the Inui Nefesh. And that's what the Gemara's question is. Why is he speaking about the nether itself instead of the Tanai? Number two, Hiksha Harav Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah asks about our Gemara. The Mashvadai the Sugyan Atya to Loka Rabbi Natan. Our Sugya over here clearly seems to go not according to Rabbi Natan. The Svirle, this is your question, which is the Ain Baal Mefer Lim Kein Chala Neder. Rabbi Natan believes that the hafara of the Baal is only an entitlement. His right to veto the nether is only true when the nether goes into effect. And it's clear that our Gemara doesn't think that at all. Our Gemara thinks that the chashash that she might trigger the nether is enough of a reason to be made for the nether, which is Elokei Rabbanan. That's like the shita of the Rabbanan further on that argue at the end of the parak on Peitat about this issue. So the Ran says, V'ishlamar, de'enochanami, the Tana de Matnitin Kirabonon, that the Tana of our Mishnah holds like the Rabbanan, the Svirle, Elmiu, ki Amri Rabbanan de Mefer, Afo Pishlo Chala Neder, Hani Mile Hechesh, Yev Shala, Lihinatzel. So then we have to explain what the Gemara is saying over here. If we really believe, like the Rabbanan, that the fact that the Neder is not Chal yet is sufficient grounds for Hafara, then why did the Gemara before ask a question, let her not be rochets, and not trigger the nether? Why does it matter? Why does the trigger matter at all? Because there's a nether of Inui Nefesh in the background, and that should be sufficient grounds for allowing the Hafarat the nether. So here the Ran comes and qualifies the position of the Rabbanon that say that you can be made for a nether that's Inui Nefesh, even though it hasn't gone into effect. That is only true, the Ran says, if there's no way to circumvent the problem, which means that if we can tell her, don't trigger the nether, and that's a reasonable request, then even the Rabbanan would agree that you're not allowed to be made for the nether in advance of the Chaluta nether. And that's what he says here. Miu, ki amri Rabbanan de mefer, afo pishalo chala nether, That's only the case where she cannot be saved from it. Even when she's careful about the tanai, that the tanai involves either inui nefesh or beino lebeina, and because of that, we say that almost with certainty she will trigger the nether, and therefore that's sufficient grounds to be made for the nether in advance or preemptively. On the other hand, if there's a plausibility or possibility that she could keep the tanai without triggering the nether, the Rabbanan would not allow you to be made for the nether in advance. Then he asks the question from the Gemara further on in Peitet, which says that Eishish Shamra Ireni Nizira Lisha Etgaresh. She says, I will be a Nizira after I am divorced. Rabbi Akiva Omer, you're fair. Rabbi Akiva says you can still do Hafara. Now this fails according to what the Ran just explained, because why should the Baal be made fair in advance of something like this, where there's no grounds for it being triggered? Famai. Ha-ha-ta makati late latzar inui nefesh. Over there, there's no inui nefesh. And it doesn't affect their marriage because the trigger for it is post the marriage. So then, why in that instance, according to the Ran's new explanation of what allows you to be made for a neder, that should have been exempted from the hafarat neder. Shouldn't be allowed to do it because there's no issue of the neder being triggered. It's triggered by a divorce. Once the divorce goes into effect, there's no beino lebeina. And even if there's inui nefesh, that hasn't started yet, and it doesn't affect. The husband doesn't have a right to be made for that in advance because she's not going to be in trouble or get into trouble with that during their marriage. So the Ran does not answer that. In other places, the Gemara seems to answer, based on what we saw from the Mishnah and Ketubot, that maybe they'll get remarried. And since they'll get remarried, we want to preemptively stop the neder. And therefore, because of that chashash of remarriage, we want to get rid of it now. But the Ran offers another alternative, which is that it has to be within her control. The divorce here is not in her control, but rather in control of her husband. So the fact that she lacks control over the trigger of the nether is enough a reason to say that the husband has a right to be made for the nether. So here the Ran creates narrowing, defining of when the husband can be made for the nether preemptively. Number one is, of course, it has to be a nether of inui nefesh. Number two is, it has to be triggered by something that, in all likelihood, would lead to inui nefesh or beino lebeina, meaning that it will affect their marriage, the trigger. And therefore, our chashash or chashad is that she will not keep the tanai because of its difficulty on the marriage, or because of its difficulty on the marriage, that grants the husband the right to be made for in advance. On the other hand, if there's a possibility that she keeps the tanai without affecting the marriage, like the Gemara assumed originally, that if he didn't pay, that would have been fine, then the husband doesn't have a right to be made fair preemptively. The exception to that is if it's totally out of the control of the woman. It's only in the husband's control or in someone else's control. That lack of control by the woman is also another reason or grounds for it being deemed inui nefesh immediately, and therefore the Baal could be made for the neder. Then the Gemara says, we'll have to suggest this way. Ella, the Amra, hanat rechitza alai leolam. I will not bathe forever. Imer chatzayom, if I bathe today. Rabbi Yossi Savar, nivo dechayom alo shmei nivo. Not bathing for a day isn't sufficient grounds to be called nivo, and therefore we don't worry about it. So now what the Chachamim are suggesting is that the lack of rechitza for that one day is sufficient grounds for us to be made for the neder, because that will be nivul. And since that will be nivul, she will come to bathe on that day. If she comes to bathe that day, she'll trigger the neder, which will then prohibit her or restrict her from bathing forever. So because of that, the Chachamim allow hafarat the neder. On the other hand, Rabbi Yossi says that not bathing for a day is not considered to be nivul, and therefore, we don't worry about her triggering the neder. And the question one has to ask over here is, why isn't the Gemara troubled by the same problem it had in the previous case? Which is, why is Rabbi Yossi arguing on the core neder and saying, Ein elu nidre inu nefesh, when in truth, his problem is with the tanai, or the condition. He's saying that the condition's not triggered because not bathing for a single day is not considered to be nivul, and it's not problematic. So Rashi says, V'hashta leka l'mifrach, the Rabbi Yossi, litnei tanai zeh. Don't ask that question with regards to Rabbi Yossi, because, in essence, what Rabbi Yossi is saying is, The nether, which restricts her from bathing forever, is Inui Nefesh, but it won't be, it doesn't necessarily have to be Inui Nefesh. Because the Tanai that would force the nether to go into effect is something that is not imperative. It's not something that has to be triggered. And therefore, this item is not Inui Nefesh because of the fact that it's not a certainty that it will be triggered. And Rashi notes, that Buhuadin, Devshal Ukma Nami Damra Hachi, Bitayrut Zek Konam Perot Olam Alai. Could be a case where she says that it's Konam Perot Alai, Imer Chatzayom. So the nature of the nether in the back end, which is Inu Nefesh, is irrelevant. What is relevant here is the Tanai, which says that that back end nether won't necessarily be triggered. And since it won't necessarily be triggered, therefore, deemed not to be Inu Nefesh, according to Rabbi Yossi. On the other hand, the Balei HaTosafot believe that Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that not only if you don't bathe for a single day is that not considered to be Nivul or Inu Nefesh, but even if one takes a nether not to bathe over an extended period of time, that is not considered to be Inu Nefesh. And based on that, the Balei HaTosafot give two possibilities about how to explain the Gemara. The first is, V'it Garse, V'Rabbi Yossi Li Nivul Lo Chayish Kalal. Afilu hecha dimitasra deulam berechitza lo avinivul. They amend the girsa here to read not that Rabbi Yossi believes that there is no nivul for abstaining from rechitza for one day, but there's even no nivul for abstaining from rechitza at all. On the other hand, the Tosafot brings from Rabbi Eliezer mimitz garas, like the girsa that we have in our Gemara, that Rabbi Yossi nivul diomei lo shmei nivul. That's what we have in our Gemara. Klomar lo chash atana leskir nivul diomei. The Tana wasn't so careful to mention the Kach, Lo'amar, Ein B'tanai, Inui Nefesh. Zein Zeh Chidush. That's not such a big deal. The Davar Pashutu. El G'dola Mizot Hishmianu. It told us even a greater Chidush. Ein Neder Yachol Diot Shel Inui Nefesh. That this type of Neder is not of Inui Nefesh. Because we see in the upcoming Gemara that it's pretty clear that Rabbi Yossi believes that Rechitza is not considered to be Inui Nefesh whatsoever. And so the Ran, taking that shita of the Balei HaTosafot, combined with the shita of the Rabbeinu Yonah, explains why over here, Rabbi Yossi focused on the core nether and not on the Tanai. And that has to do with the fact that even though both of them are deemed to be Inui Nefesh, nevertheless, there is a difference between them in the fact that when it comes to a nether that restricts one from bathing over a long duration, it may not be Inui Nefesh, but it is still a problem of Beino Luveina. On the other hand, when it comes to not bathing for a single day, not only is it not Inui Nefesh, it is also not a problem of Beino Luveina. And so, the problem with stating in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi says, well, bathing for a single day is not Inui Nefesh, you would have drawn a conclusion or an inference from that. That means that it's not Inui Nefesh, but it is Beino Luveina. And that's not true. Because it's not only not Inui Nefesh, it's also not Beino Luveina. With regards to taking a nether that restricts bathing over a long duration, that is not Inui Nefesh. And actually, that is a bigger chiddush to tell us that Rabbi Yossi believes that. But you also can draw the inference that it's not Inui Nefesh, but it is Beino Luveina. And that's why Rabbi Yossi and the Mishnah focused on, described to us that Ein Elu Nidre Inui Nefesh, but they are problems of Beino Luveina. Now the Gemara says, Shanita Imerchatz, you took care of the case of Imerchatz, if I do bathe. Imlo Erchatz, Hechidomi. If I don't bathe, then what is the parallel case in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Imerchatz, Imlo Erchatz. What you explain now, with this complicated version of what happened in the Mishnah, is that the way that she formulated the nether was, Hanat Rechitza Alai Leolam, Imerchatz ayom, if I bathe today. On the other hand, imlo erchatz, what is the condition there? What is the case there? Hechidami. Ilema, if she said damrat titzar hanat rechitza leolam alai, that I will be restricted in the anav rechitza forever, imlo erchatz ayom, if I don't bathe today. Lamalei hafara, why does he have to nullify the nether? Titzache, let her bathe and we'll solve the problem. Let her bathe, and then won't trigger the nether that precludes her from bathing. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, no, this is what she said. Hanat mechitza alai leolam. I am restricted in getting benefit from mechitza forever. Im lo achatz b'mei mishra. If I don't bathe in the waters that were used to soak the flax, which are putrid type of water that nobody would want to go into. So now the Gemara suggests over here that there is inui nefesh in both aspects of it. There is an inui nefesh in her completing or taking care of the condition that she put in, which is to go and have rechitza b'mei mishra, because that's disgusting to go in there. And if she doesn't go in there, then she'll trigger the neder, and she will then be asur by not rechitza forever. So both those instances are probably inui nefesh. If she goes ahead and bathes in the mei mishra, that's inui nefesh. If she doesn't bathe in the mei mishra, that triggers the neder that also generates inui nefesh. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says either like what Rashi suggests over here, which is there's no such thing as inui liyom echad, and therefore even her going into the putrid waters of the mei mishra is not deemed to be inui nefesh. Or you have to say that Rabbi Yossi doesn't believe that anything under the rubric of rechitza has a din of inui nefesh. And that's why Rabbi Yossi is going to argue in this case. The Gemara says, okay, that's a nice explanation, but the Kavatei, the Ktani, then how are you going to explain the next line in the Mishnah? Imlo et kashet, what is going to be the case of imlo et kashet? The Mishnah brought two examples, im erchatz, imlo erchatz. Im et kashet, imlo et kashet. So the parallel case, imlo et kashet, would be this. Imlo et kashet benef, if I don't put kerosene on myself, then it will trigger the neder. The Gemara says, that's called et kashet? Lichluchu. That's just dirt. That's disgusting. Some stuff that she's putting dirt on her face. She's not et kashet. You wouldn't term that, or you wouldn't use the verb to describe that as putting on makeup. That's certainly not the case. So the Gemara says, you might have found a solution to rechitza, but if you do that and parallel it within kishut, it doesn't work out. So I'm Rav Yehuda, de amra, hanat rechitza de olam alai. I'm restricted in rechitza forever. If I bathe today, and I take a shvua that I will not bathe. So now the equivalent of that in terms of kishut would be hanat kishut alai deolam. I will not be able to benefit from makeup or taking care of myself, presenting myself in a nice fashion. Imet kashet ayom. If I put on makeup today, ushvua shlo et kashet, and also take a shvua that I will not be mit kashet. And the reason they had to say shvua shlo erchatz and they didn't make it into a nether is because lo erchatz is an intangible item. Since it's an intangible item, the nedarim don't have any impact on intangible items, and therefore they had to use the lashon shvua instead of nether, as opposed to when you're talking about hanat rechitza, not getting benefit from rechitza, then you could use the lashon of nether. Now Rashi over here explains that the Gemara is now assuming that the case of im erchatz, im lo erchatz, is actually a single case and not two separate cases. And that is, we're using the original assumption that we had at the end of the Gemara on the previous Amud, which is that she sets up a nether al tanai, which is that hanat rechitza l'olam alai im erchatz ayom. But in that case, you still have a tanai, a condition that would allow her to bathe one time before the nether is triggered. So she layers on top of that shvua shelo erchatz, which eliminates the tanai or mitigates the tanai completely because it disallows her even bathing one time. And that's the nature of im erchatz im lo erchatz, which is that she restricts herself from bathing through a shvua that says she will not bathe at all. And since she will not bathe at all, then she can't even bathe once in order to trigger the nether. And Rabbi Yossi Letame argues on this, that the nivul lo chayish klal, he doesn't want around nivul at all, the leki inui nefesh, and therefore there's no inui nefesh in this case according to Rashi. On the other hand, Daran and many of the other Rishonim see this as being two separate cases, and explaining im erchatz in the Mishnah, and then separately im lo erchatz. And the case of im erchatz is what we said at the end of the previous Amud, which is hanat rechitza leolam alai im erchatz ayom. The case of lo erchatz is a separate case of shvua shelo erchatz. Take a shvua that do not bathe. And as Zedran points out over here, that then you don't have to ask about the tanai, or why doesn't Rabbi Yossi argue on the tanai, because the second case of im lo erchatz is a straight-up isur of Shvua lo erchatz. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi has to argue on the core principle of Nivul or Inui Nefesh here, and not simply on the Tznai. Now, why are the two cases different, or why are they worded this way? So the Ran says it comes to teach a chiddush according to each party. The fact that in the case of Hanat Rechitza Le'olam Alai Im Erchatz Ayom, that comes to teach us the power of the Chachamim. So even though the nether has not gone into effect, and technically she could bathe once before setting into effect, nevertheless, the Chachamim deem that to be Inui Nefesh and allow the Baal to do a hafara up front. The power or the chiddush in Shvua Shelo Erchatz comes to teach you a chiddush according to Rabbi Yossi, that even when you say Shvua Shelo Erchatz without any condition in it, and even though it goes into effect immediately, Rabbi Yossi says that that's not called Inui, that not bathing is not called Inui over here. And the same thing will be true with Anat Kishut. Alai lolam imet kashet deyom. Shvash loet kashet. Gemara says, Amalei Ravina the Ravashi. That's a nice explanation, but Hai elu nidarim ushvuot mibayle the mitne. Our Mishnah begins, elu nidarim shuhu mefer. These are nidarim. Doesn't mention anything about shvuot. What are you all of a sudden bringing in shvuot over here? Amalei tnei elu nidarim ushvuot. Amend the Mishnah to read Elu nidarim ushvuot. Vi baitema, that you don't even have to amend the Mishnah. Shvuot nami hainu nidarim. Shvuot are really subsumed under the title of neder. That's not, because we had a Mishnah earlier on in the Masechta. Kenidre rishaim, nadar bin nazir, ubi kurban, ubi shvua. What is considered to be nidre rishaim? Nidarim that only rishaim take. That is, if a person took a neder nizirut, or a neder by a korban, or a shvua. So you see, under the category of nidrei rishayim, they list a shvua. That shows you that shvua is subsumed under the title neder. And therefore, when it says elu nidarim, it includes shvuot as well. Vamar rabbanan, rechitza it bo inu nefesh kilo rachta. So now, the rabbanan say that rechitza has inu nefesh when you don't bathe. Very many. Is that really true? Because the way the Gemara learned now is that if you were to take the nether that was triggered by not bathing for a single day, that would have been sufficient grounds for hafara, because not bathing for a day is nivul, is problematic. Gemara says, is that really true? Very many. What about the Gemara at the end of Yoma? Afa pisha sur bekulan. Even though one is restricted in all the five inuim of Yom Kippurim, the punishment of karet is only applicable to eating, drinking, and melacha. And if you say, if you want to say that when she doesn't bathe for that day, then there is inui, then if you bathe on Yom Kippur, lechayiv karet, that will be a violation of Inui Nefesh. So Gemara says, how could it be that the Gemara in Yoma thinks that Inui Nefesh, Tzan Yom Kippur, is not subject to a punishment of Karet, if the Chachamim over here clearly say that it's enough of an Inui to be made for Neder? That doesn't seem to reconcile. So Amarova, Rabbi says, Minyono Dekra, or Hacha Minyono Dekra, Hacha Minyono Dekra. You have to look at the context of Psukim in each case. Gabe Yom Kippurim, by Yom Kippur Dichtiv, Tanu et nashutechem. It says over there, there's a requirement to afflict oneself. Milta diyada inuya hashto, that it's immediately apparent or obvious that inui. Rechitza lo yada inuya hashto. On the other hand, rechitza doesn't have that aspect of the inui being known immediately. Now, the Rishonim here have two approaches. One is, Rashi says here, that it's other people knowing about it. The Ran says it's about the person themselves knowing about it, which is, everybody eats and drinks every day. If a person abstains from eating or drinking, it's obvious that they are involved in inui. And if they ate or drank, it would be a violation of that inui, because it's obvious to the person themselves, or it's well known to the person themselves, that they're not eating that day, because if it was a regular day, they would be eating. On the other hand, with regards to rechitza, a person doesn't bathe every single day. People skip sometimes bathing on a day. Therefore, the lack of rechitza on Yom Kippur is not going to be classified as inui that you know about, or inui that is obvious, because a person could go through a day without bathing, and that wouldn't be considered to be inui nefesh just because they missed taking a bath that day or a shower that day. So on Yom Kippur also, it won't be deemed to be inui, that is idea. And that's the way the Ran explains it. Rashi says it's talking about other people, that when a person does abstains from food and drink, it's obvious to others that that person is fasting. And if a person doesn't bathe for a day, it's not obvious to the other people that they haven't bathed that day. Gabay nidarim dichtiv, kol neder, v'chol shabbat yisar, la'not nafesh. So over there, la'not nafesh is milta d'atu l'day inui. As long as it's something that becomes inui, that is sufficient. V'chilo rachza, atu l'day inui. When she doesn't bathe, that will lead down to a path of inui. The rechitza over here, even though today it's not inui in of itself, nevertheless, if you were to continue down that path of not bathing, then it would be considered inui nefesh. And the way that Rashi formulates it is, la'anot nefesh, mashma sh'atid la'anot. It's something that in the future will cause inui. Now, the problem with this Gemara is that there is a much easier answer to this question, which is, why is it that on Yom Kippur you're not chayiv karet for bathing, even though the Chachamim call bathing inui nefesh? So the Ran says, Ubedinu d'matzi lishnuyilei d'hine chitza mikarya inui, even though rechitza is called inui, ain't chayiv nele karet, still not chayiv karet, da'binan inui nefesh. The Gemara there in Yoma has a drosha that, which the juxtaposition of the punishment of karet for inui nefesh and the punishment of karet for doing malach on Yom Kippur, it says over there, v'havati et nefesh, it will wipe out that nefesh, that is the karet that we're speaking about. The Gemara dashes from there that inui sheish bo ibud nefesh, only afflictions that involve ibud nefesh are subject to karet. Well, the only two inuim that are subject to ibud nefesh are achila and shtia, because the lack of achila and lack of shtia causes ibud nefesh. None of the other three inuim, tashmisha mita, nilata sandal, or rechitza, lead a person down the path of ibud nefesh. And so because of that, the Ran says, why can't we answer here? The reason that you don't get karet is not because rechitza is not inui, it's simply because rechitza is not inui that qualifies to get karet, because it's not inui that involves ibud nefesh. Why didn't the Gemara just simply answer that way? Elo derova pirka afil libedanu tanae delate luach drusha. Rova wanted to answer this question even according to those tanaim that don't hold of this drusha of ibud nefesh. And so according to them, where there's a possibility that inui of rechitza, if it was really the oraita, should be subject to karet. Why isn't it subject to karet? So Rova explains to us that it's the nature of the inui. It's not an inui that is so obvious because it's something that spans over a slightly longer range than a single day. And the truth is that's evidenced by the lochot of avelut. When it comes to avelut, we don't say that irechitza for one day, a person's not lochet for the entire shiva and possibly even for the shloshim. And that's because it's noticeable then. That's irechitza. If a person just abstains from rechitza for a single day, that's not called avelut, that's not called irechitza, or again, inui nefesh. Now, the Rosh, on the other hand, takes up the sheet of the Balei HaTosafot in Yoma. Over there, the Gemara says that two achila and shtia have karet, those two inuim have karet, the other three inuim do not have karet. That leads to a major machloket amongst the Rishonim as to what the status of the other three inuim is. According to the Balei HaTosafot there, the other three inuim are Darabonon, and the cross and Asmachta Ba'alma, and they're all Dinei Darabanan. And he says that that's the case because I can prove it to you that there are many dispensations in the Gemara there. For instance, by Rechitza, Akala, in her first 30 days, is allowed to wash her face. Well, why would you have dispensations like that if this was an Issur D'Oraita? It must be that's an Issur D'Rabanan. And we have other exemptions for Nilat HaSandal and for Rechitza. And the Balei HaTosafot say that's only possible if you believe that inui, besides achila and shtia, is midrabanan. That's how Tosafot concludes over there, it's derabanan. Then many of the other Rishonim, the Shi'otot, the Yireim, the Smag, many of them think that all five of the Nuim are d'oraita, but those three are just exempted from karet. They're not subject to karet, even though they're a din d'oraita. And that's because they're not explicit in the Pasuk. They're come through a ribuy of Shabbaton, they come through a ribuy of drashot, but but they're not explicit in the pasuk, and therefore they're not subject to karet. But the Rosh says over here is, we could have answered that the reason you don't get karet by mechitza is because it's only a din derabanan, it's not a din deoraita. So you could have answered that. So the Rosh over here says, v'yesh lomar, devadei lo yavei inu min haTorah, v'kara dinu yavei asmachta ba'alma, tikrei yunoi, v'kachu l'maskana d'ochel. And that is the way that the maskan of the Gemara is over here, as well over there, which is mechitza is not subject to karet. But based on that, you could have answered over here that it's all midrabanan. So why are you worrying about karet anyway with regards to mechitza? What is the question anyway? And then you have to answer, like what we saw in the Ran, the Gemara, even though it knows that information, is trying to address the concerns of other Tanaim, who believe that either Rechitza is Doraita or Rechitza is subject to Karet. Virami de Rabbi Yossi ad de Rabbi Yossi. Then we really have a stira within the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Mayan shel bnei ha'ir. There is a spring, a water source for the city. But this water source is actually for two cities. The water source comes, passes through one city, and then goes to a secondary city. Now usually there's sufficient water in this Mayan, in this spring or this river, that brings water for the needs of the first city, and there's enough water to go downstream and help out the second city as well. But if there is limited amount of water, then these are the rules that govern. Chayehen v'chaye acherim. If it's for them, it's a life or death situation for drinking the water, then they take precedence, the first city takes precedence, and they should drink as much water as they need to survive, even if that means that they let no water go downstream. Because chayem v'chaya chayrim, which is between your life and someone else's life, chayem kodmim, chaya chayrim. Your life goes first, and your life takes precedence over other people's lives. This should remind us of the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the Machloka with Rabbi Akiva, with regards to the case where a person only has enough water for one person, and there are two people in the desert. Do we say that they should split the water? And he shouldn't see his friend die, even though both of them will not survive now. Or should he drink all the water and survive and forget about his friend? And Rabbi Akiva over there is Doresh. Chayecha kodmim, that your life goes before anybody else's life. And therefore, you drink the water to survive. And that you can't concern yourself with the other person unless you first have taken care of yourself. So here, this echoes the same sentiment, which is that your chayim go before the chayim of the other city. Bamtam ubemat echayim. If it comes to not only sufficient water to have the people of the city drink, but also sufficient water for their animals to drink. So if it's a competition between whose animals drink, bamtam, the animals of the first city take precedence over the animals of the second city, and therefore they can give their animals to drink, even though that will cut off the water downstream. And then, if there's sufficient water for them to survive, there's sufficient water for their behemot, so there's sufficient water for the first city to drink, plus to give their animals, sufficient water for the second city to drink and give their animals, but the residual amount of water is only sufficient to allow one of the two cities to launder their clothing. Kvisatan v'kvisat acherim. Your laundry of the first city and the laundry of the people downstream. It says, kvisatam kodemet v'kvisat acherim. Your laundry takes precedence over the laundry of the people downstream. So anytime you're talking about a tie or equal claims here, the first city will take precedence because they get priority, and there's no demand upon them to give up their rights in order for the people downstream to have something. What happens if we have a situation when the comparison is between chaye acherim and the kvisa of the first city? So if there's sufficient water for the people in the first city to survive, there's sufficient water for their animals to survive. The question now, is there sufficient water for them to also launder? If they use that water to launder their clothing, the people downstream will pass away. So which one goes first? Do we let them launder their clothing? Or do we send the water downstream so the people can survive? So there we say, chaye acherim kodmim l'kvisatan. Over here it seems obvious that the lives of those people downstream should take precedence over the laundry of the people in the first city. Rabbi Yossi Omer. Surprising opinion of Rabbi Yossi, kvisatam kodemet l'chaye acherim, that the laundry takes precedence We will launder, or let the people in the first city launder before we let the water go downstream, and the people downstream will pass away from thirst, and we still will grant the first city the right to do laundry. Where it says, Hashta kavisa amar Rabbi Yossi yesh batzahar. Over here, Rabbi Yossi claims that not laundering is so difficult, dangerous, to the point where we say, give precedence to the people laundering over sending the water downstream for them to drink, must mean that there's a certain amount of sakana involved in not laundering one's clothing. So over here, Rabbi Yossi says, not laundering is a sakana, a risk to your life. Goof, kulo, lo koshikain. And certainly your whole body, not laundering your whole body, should be a more extreme form of that tsar and a more extreme form of danger. Where it says, Amrayin, kvisa alim of Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, laundering is greater than bathing. Da'amar Shmuel. And this is based on this statement of Shmuel. Hai irbuvita dereisha matula de'avira. Someone who has dirt or grime or stuff that's not been washed out of his head, that can lead to blindness. Ron says over here, it's not just not bathing, but not combing one's hair. And that there's some sort of correlation, as the Rosh says, that me'orei na'im yunek mi'se'ara Rosh, that the person's eyesight draws from the hair on their head, and there's some sort of connection between them, and therefore, zumata Rosh, the dirt or uncleanliness of the head, is kaheh me'orei na'im. It weakens or dims the eyesight of the individual. Irbuvita demane, if you have this soiling or spoiled clothing that was not laundered, matula de shamumita, it leads to sheyamum, to whether it's boredom, or more importantly, it leads one to go crazy or lose their mind. Irbuvita de gufa, if one's body is not cleansed, then there's dirt filled up on the body, matula de shichane vikibe, it comes to boils and blisters, it leaves the skin in a difficult condition. And as the Ron points out over here, that's something that you have the ability to cure, and that we have salve or some sort of medical treatment for. It's not a big deal. So you see, according to this, that dirt or not bathing has less of an impact than not laundering the clothing, because dirty clothing leads to this shamumito. That and a dirty body only leads to shichane vikibe. As you see here, this idea that the possibility that laundry has more impact on the individual to the negative side, is more dangerous to the individual than even dirt on their body. And therefore we'll distinguish between Rabbi Yossi over here, who says that laundering is takes precedence over the life of the other people because it's in danger to your life, versus our case of our Mishnah, we're talking about the goof. And not bathing the goof may not be the most pleasant thing, but it's certainly not a risk to one's life or an inui nefesh. It might be beno le beina, as we saw earlier, but it's certainly not inui nefesh. So the Ron explains over here about the rabbanon lokasha. Tehine miyat v'chitzat aguf ave inui. That's called inui nefesh. Bibegadim lekat sara kulihai. By clothing, there isn't that much pain. So even though there is a problem of inui nefesh when it comes to the clothing, the body is more extreme than laundry, and therefore, by laundry, they will waive it, but they won't waive it by inui nefesh of the goof. Even if they're on the same plane, and that laundering the clothing and bathing are on the same level, and not doing either of them is problematic, they could still say that even though rechitza and kibbutz are on the same level, we still will give other people's lives precedence over that. And therefore, it might be tsar, it might be uncomfortable, it might be difficult, but it doesn't lead to death. And if you hold the water for that kvisa, you're going to then kill all the people downstream. So we're going to give priority to that, those people downstream lives over kvisa, even though there might be some tsar involved with the kvisa. Okay, we're going to stop over here, five lines down on the top of Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph.